Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I'm Andy. Good morning to you. It's 908 on KDXU. It is great to be here today. I have a friend in the studio right now. Welcome Jack Lancaster to
the
fray. Hi, Jack. What's going on, man?
Oh, just catching my breath.
Yeah?
Running up the stairs.
Last week, I had the city council candidates and the mayor candidates on, and one of the questions was about traffic. And
yeah.
I wouldn't say they all downplayed traffic much, but they didn't feel like it was the most pressing need in the world right now, especially right now the Northern Corridor thing is up in the air and stuff, but it looks like it's going to happen. But, you experienced firsthand just now.
It adds 10 minutes to my
It's changed, commute. Hasn't it?
Well, it's because of the, when school started is when it changed.
Mm.
But, I live in Washington in the fields, and I come up, I forget the name. I don't even look at names, street names. Mm-hmm. But it's the one with the light off Telegraph off, is it Washington Fields Road?
Depends on how far north we're talking. So the light at 300 East, that leads out to...
Well, in Washington, there's a light at Main Street.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a
the
light...
Next light
east.
East is 300 East.
300 East.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm coming up there and the traffic stacks up about four blocks.
Oh, wow.
And so you got to go two or three.
So you want to turn left there and you can't.
Well, you sit there between three or four turns. But I had to make a left, go through town, and hit all the stop signs to hit Main Street and come up. And that added a few. And then the freeway was really busy.
Oh, boy.
And then the right-hand turn off the freeway, everybody stacks up in the right lane, and then, of course, I can just go around. It's just a lot of traffic.
So
Bluff Street was busy, too.
Would you say, would you move that up the list? Like traffic, maybe the eighth most... Has it moved up to the top three?
Yeah, I know intersections are real expensive to change, but I would put a longer turn light. I would just adjust that turn light longer for the left turn and make it a more dedicated left turn right there.
There's in Washington. We're talking about 300 East turning onto Telegraph, and I've experienced that too. Even on...
In the morning.
I'll play pickleball on Saturdays at Sullivan Park out there, and when I'm coming back, it's 9:30 in the morning. There's still a few cars. I mean, I'm not waiting, four lights through.
Probably in the morning. You would get less traffic through the middle of town because everybody's cutting through, to miss that light. And sometimes I'll go straight through it and then make a left because I hit that new freeway on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the Main Street on-ramp, too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My wife, she just retired, but she used to drive that every day. And it is, you're only on the freeway for...
Your wife just retired?
She did on Friday,
Oh, I'm going to miss her over at the city.
I know. Well, and the hard thing is she retired, but I haven't yet. So, and now my wife's a go, go, go person. She's not going to sit around. Like, if I retired first, I'd probably sit around in my underwear and drink, drink chocolate milk or something. But, no, she's got a million projects going. Going in the next month while I'm still working, and we're doing a trip. You're doing a trip as well. Where are you headed?
We're going to Spain and then hit a cruise ship to the Canary Islands in Morocco.
Wow.
And then back to Spain.
Oh, that's pretty epic, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty epic.
Hopefully.
Have you, what language do they speak in Morocco? What is that?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. I don't either.
Moroccan? I don't know.
I know somebody knows that and we'll probably get a text about it. Like, you dummies, but.
My guess is we'll get by on English or Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Everybody speaks English, right?
Yeah.
Seems like anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to read this for you. This is an area that, for how long have you been doing the show? Two, three?
It's been a few years.
A few years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
One of your favorite areas is to talk about the man-made climate change. Listen, this is Bill Gates. Bill Gates was kind of along with Al Gore, he was kind of one of the guys that was like, we're all going to die, climate change.
Yeah.
Listen to Bill Gates. This is a statement he released on Friday. He said, there's a doomsday view of climate change that goes like this, and this is in italics and parentheses, quotes, in a few decades, cataclysmic climate change will decimate civilization. The evidence is all around us. Just look at all the heat waves and storms caused by rising global temperatures. Nothing matters more than limiting the rise in temperature. And then he says right after that, fortunately for all of us, this view is wrong.
Yeah.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy carrying the banner around. Yeah. And we're dying. Climate change is killing us.
Turns out he needs more electricity for his AI projects and more money for him. Turns out that when your livelihood depends on making more money and you need more electricity to run those projects, turns out you're going to figure out what.
So are you saying his motivation is different now because he needs
energy? Of course.
Has nothing to do with his political leanings, but rather with what
he assume
needs?
Being a billionaire, he's a smart guy. That's a good assumption to make, right?
I hope so, yeah.
And you assume that his opinions before, I don't know, this week or last week, you know, were probably, as far as he was concerned, as informed as he could get. And he chose to believe what he wanted to believe.
Yeah.
So there you are.
And then he changed his mind.
And then he figured it out.
Because
he figured it out that he couldn't, make money on wind and solar. Wind and solar is not going to power AI.
Not going to power much, actually, at all.
Yeah.
So, okay. Another, and we'll talk about that some more in a minute. Another billionaire, though, came out with same. Now, Bill Gates is kind of the fuddy-duddy billionaire. Elon Musk is the fun billionaire.
Yeah,
this guy,
he's a fun one.
Check out this story here. He's talking about flying cars.
In an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast Friday, Musk said Tesla is getting closer to demonstrating the prototype for something unforgettable. When Rogan asked for more details, Musk said, Peter Thiel once reflected that the future was supposed to have flying cars, but we don't. In lieu of specifics, Musk said the unveiling has a shot at being the most memorable product unveil ever. The Tesla CEO also said the car would hopefully be unveiled in a couple of months. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Wow. The Jetsons, right?
Yeah,
we all grew up watching the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Maybe it's closer than we think.
That could be amazing, you know?
If
I had a flying car, I'd have been here on time.
That's right. That's right. Well, you were still here before we went on, so you were kind of on time.
Yeah.
It actually, I mean, when you start thinking about the possibility of flying cars, it's a whole new world. Number one, as you mentioned, we always joke as the crow flies, right? My dad lives a mile away from me, but in between me and my dad are a whole bunch of busy streets, the gateway under the freeway road and traffic jam garbage that is, it is. Imagine if I could get in my flying car and actually be to my dad's house in a minute.
I think the thing I worry about flying cars with knowing the way people drive is mid-air collisions.
That was kind of where I was leaning. Yeah. The other part of the whole new world it would open up is how do you regulate that?
Yeah.
If everybody has a flying car, okay, not everybody, but if everybody who has a lot of money has a flying car, do you...
And then what happens when you crash at 50 feet?
You die.
Yeah.
Unless you have, I guess airbags wouldn't help you, but unless they were airbags, I don't know. If you drop an airbag from 50 feet, are you going to be okay if you're covered?
Right.
All sides? I have no idea. It certainly opens up some.
Yeah.
The imagination.
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that AI technology would have to get in there involved. For these cars to talk to each other, to have integrated avoidance systems, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're in a collision
course. Good point, yeah. But,
you know, with somebody that's, you know, 100 yards out, and you're both traveling 50 miles an hour.
Your thing starts beeping and
well, no, it just moves. It moves them, it moves you, you know.
It's hard for my brain to comprehend the idea of traffic above me. I mean, you mentioned, what if you get in a collision at 50 feet or 100 feet? What about what's under you, right? I mean,
well,
they're
going to make noise.
Yeah.
So do you want flying cars flying over your house all the time?
Mm, good point. Yeah, they're not going
to
be silent.
You know, in your backyard, trying to have a barbecue and...
Yeah, I don't know.
So they would have
Does somebody have George Jetson on speed
dial? Maybe they would have to just fly above the traffic, the roads.
Oh, but I was talking about my dad, and you have to go on the other side of the freeway to get to my.
Have a rule that you can't fly over. And you know, real estate law might say, you know, my private property extends, you know, 500 feet into the air. You don't have my permission to trespass.
Currently, real estate law, the height of your building, that's the end of your property. Everything above your building, you don't own.
Right. But
same
that could
below.
Change.
Yeah.
People would start demanding that law changes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want these things flying over my house. What if they crash? What if they run out of gas? What if they, whatever? I don't want them crashing.
What about the noise?
Yeah, the noise.
Wow.
I don't want them spying on me. I like sunbathing in the nude in my backyard.
But right now, drones fly over your house. I hope you don't do that.
Nobody wants to see that anyway.
Nobody wants to see that. Right now, drones fly over your house and take pictures. I mean, Google Earth has a picture of your house right now, Jack.
Yeah, well, from space.
Yeah, well, I mean, but there are drones. My son had a drone. He got rid of it after a while because he got bored, but he was flying.
Well, I'm just saying, there would probably come a time when that would be an issue. I don't know how soon it would be, but I mean, seriously, you got a hot tub in your backyard. Do you want flying cars flying over your house at 40 feet?
No. You know, my brother lives out where there's going to be if the Northern Corridor does eventually go through, it'll be less than a block from his house. Uh-huh. He's going to have a lot of noise. But my brother, number one, he's realistic. He's like, I built my house after that corridor was proposed. I understand there's going to be noise. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm still not happy that of all the noise that's going to be coming.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing with drones. I mean, I'm happy there's going to be flying cars.
They got to have some kind of, and they don't have this yet, and I don't know if they'll ever invent it, but if they have some kind of anti-gravity thing.
Mm.
So remember the Star Wars speeder, how it just looked like it floated about 2 or 3
feet?
That
was pretty cool.
Or Marty McFly's hoverboard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If they had something like that, but you could do it at 100 feet, you know, where even if you ran out of juice, it just sat there.
Do you believe? I don't know. I don't know if you know this. Do you have any? Are we close to anything like that?
No,
because now, if you think about that one jet that can take off, you know, and it basically has a super jet powered engine that will lift it up. It's pretty. It's a long way from you know.
No,
Marty
you
McFly's
would need. You know, yeah, it's alien technology. I mean, if you talk to Bob Lazar, they have it at Area 51 in the flying saucers.
Well, why can't we? Did they not figure out how to reverse engineer it? Is that the problem?
Well, obviously, the government denies that these things exist.
Yeah,
so, you know,
do they have a Bigfoot skeleton too?
I don't know about that.
Is a Bigfoot an alien?
No.
No. Okay. No. All right. I went too far. I crossed the line.
It's just another creature.
All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about beverages, okay? The Coca-Cola company is reintroducing Mr. Pibb. Now, for a while, Pibb Extra was out. There was kind of the replacement for Mr. Pibb, and it was very underwhelming. People didn't like Pibb Extra. So they're going to reintroduce Mr. Pibb as a competitor to Dr. Pepper.
Huh.
As a retail establishment owner, does this interest you in any way whatsoever?
No,
that Coke
I mean, it's fine. I personally, there are Mr.
Pibb
aficionados out there that can tell the difference. I don't drink it that much. I mean, the Dr. Pepper or the other one.
My sister is a Dr. Pepper fan, and she won't drink Pibb Extra. She's like, nope, it's not.
I didn't know there was a Pibb Extra.
Yeah,
Pibb what's Extra's the extra?
Out there. Caffeine, mostly. A little jolt of caffeine in it.
You mean extra caffeine? Because normally it has it.
I think it has a little bit extra.
Oh.
So, but, the Coca-Cola company says, listen, Dr. Pepper's making too much money. We're bringing Mr. Pibb back.
I don't know. I thought that Mr. Pibb was already out there and being out there.
Mr. Pibb, we haven't had original Mr. Pibb for, let's see, there's a number here somewhere. Well, it's been 20-something years since they stopped making, 24 years since Mr. Pibb was discontinued and Pibb Extra replaced it.
Oh.
So for 24 years we've had Pibb Extra. You can't get Mr. Pibb. Now they're going to eliminate Pibb Extra and bring Mr. Pibb back.
Hmm.
Which is, you know.
Do you remember when they did the new Coke?
Oh, yeah. In the 80s, that did not go over well.
Didn't go over well.
Lead balloon, I believe.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that are conspiracy theorists. You have a couple of your own, but a lot of people I know were like, you know what? They did that on purpose to rejuvenate their original Coke. They put this one out there and said, here's the new Coke. People hated it. They knew that would happen, and that would then rejuvenate the original Coke recipe.
I don't think they're that. They don't play that 3D chess. No, they're just thought it. See, they made the mistake thinking they were losing market share to Pepsi, and they weren't.
Yeah, they weren't. No.
Yeah.
Within a year, the new Coke recipe was gone. They for a while they had them both. They called one Coke Classic and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the new one just kind of slowly, they didn't, there were no press releases. It just kind of went away. Because
I didn't hate the new Coke.
Terrible.
It went horrible, but I mean, I missed the old one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the old one, the Coke, the Classic wasn't as sweet.
Really?
That's why Pepsi is not as popular as Coke, because Pepsi's sweeter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I would go with that.
And I actually was in Wet n' Wild one day, and the Pepsi booth came up to me, and they said, "Do you want to do the cola challenge?" Okay.
Really?
Yeah. They asked if I could tell the difference.
Could you?
Oh, yeah. You can tell the difference. You go, which? But they didn't ask me which one I liked better. I go, "That one's Coke." He goes, "Yeah, that's right." I go, "That's the one I like."
You disqualified yourself, huh, by knowing.
No, you can tell the difference.
Okay.
And when you do the taste test for a little sample, Pepsi does okay because it's you only taking a shot of it or a 2 ounce, you know, sip. Mm-hmm. But when you drink a whole can of it, Coke is better because it's not as sweet.
All right. Okay. Now, Jack is a native of here, this beautiful place where we live. And Jack, I got to ask you, you don't have to confess if you don't want to, but when you were a teenager, did you used to drag race a little bit on the boulevard or maybe
no,
drive a little
I didn't,
too fast?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I drove fast. I got tickets all the time.
Okay. All right.
I didn't drag race because I never had anything that would drag raceable.
Okay. All right. My buddy and I, so he had a Mustang.
Yeah.
And in high school, I had a Dodge Polaris. Ugly car, but yeah, fast. Very, yeah, very fast. And it's funny because when we would go out on it to to cruise State Street in Salt Lake, did we want to look good in his Mustang? Did we want to go fast in my car? And that was really what it came down to. And I remember one time we pulled up to an intersection, this car full of Camaro full of really, really good looking girls. And my buddy and I were in his Mustang. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. So I rolled down my window. I'm on the passenger side. They're out there to our right.
Notice he's making the hand cranking motion.
I am, yes. you had to crank your window down. That was back in the day. Anyway, the girl driving the Camaro next to us rolls down her window. I smile at her. She smiles at me, and she looks over at me and says, "Want a race?" I was like, "Are you kidding me? That's the question. You want a race?" So, and we were in his Mustang, which was a six cylinder. It was slow as
convenient. Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "No." And then the light changed, and she took off, and I never saw her again.
Oh dang it!
Yeah, on a race. That's not what I was hoping would come out. I was hoping what would come out of her mouth is, "Hey, nice car. Nice. You guys want to hang out?
Let's get together.
Yeah,
pull over in the next parking lot."
Anyway, I bring this up because there was a couple of cars street racing on the boulevard last night.
Oh,
cops came. They flashed their lights on. The one guy pulled over.
Uh huh.
Okay, got a ticket or whatever you get for street racing. The other guy, though, did not.
He took off.
He got on the freeway. He went through town and then went down to exit 2. I don't know how he did that. And then he got on the freeway and went over and got on SR7 and went out to the... They lost track of him. They didn't know where he was. And then police were called to a crash out by San Hollow. And the guy had, in his speeding, had rolled his car. And they bust him. Now, I only bring this, I wouldn't make light of this if he was hurt badly, but he was not hurt badly.
Okay.
He was arrested.
What kind of car did he have, do we know?
There was a picture of it, but it was all rolled.
Oh,
so
wow.
I couldn't quite tell what it was, but I don't think it was a hot rod. I think it was more of it's not very nice, rice burners. It was a souped up,
Japanese car?
Yeah, Honda or something.
Oh.
But I just think... Is this the kind of thing we just go wink, wink, nod, nod, they're teenagers or they're young people, it's not that big a deal? Or is this the kind of thing that we should be up in arms about and angry at?
Well, I imagine if it was a thing, you know, it's kind of rare, I think, these days.
Yeah.
You know, but if it was a thing, you'd probably make a bigger deal out of it. It was just two guys. And, you know, I mean, it happened when I was, you know, a teenager. I was never part of one, but, you know. No, I don't know. It's, you know. The kid rolled his car. He probably lost a lot of money.
Yes,
now he's probably going to spend some time in jail and pay a lot of fines and probably not have a driver's license for a year or two.
He turned what would have been an expensive ticket into now jail time.
Yeah, he just...
I mean, it was...
Yeah, you pull over, you know, take the ticket, take the heat. My nephew, I had a nephew once. He was driving back from... he had a Lexus, and he was driving back from Vegas, and he got clocked coming out of the gorge by Arizona PD between the gorge and the state line at over 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think 18. And he had to go see the judge. And the judge was, you know, kind to him. He had to do community service and, you know, pay some penance. But he pulled over when the lights came on. He pulled over.
Yeah, don't run.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Don't run. I had a buddy in high school. His name was Leo, and I'm not going to give his last name, but he had, when I was in high school, it was a few years after Smoking the Bandit, but that black Trans Am with the gold.
Oh, yeah.
That was very popular.
That was a very nice
car. And this guy had one of those.
Yeah.
And he decided one time to, so stupid. He was going too fast. Cops put the lights on. He decided to run.
Uh-huh.
And he knew West Jordan. This was in West Jordan. Knew the town really well. So he was able to evade the cops. What he did was he went into a subdivision and started pushing his garage door opener repeatedly until one of the garages in the neighborhood opened, and he pulled into their garage.
Oh,
and then closed it.
Smart.
Well, except there was someone home at the time. And of course, if your garage opens and you pull into someone's garage, what are you going to do? They're going to call police, right?
Yeah.
So they called police on him, and he was just sitting duck inside that person's garage, and he ended up getting arrested.
Well, it's an interesting thought for a minute, anyway.
Yeah, they confiscated or impounded, I guess is a better word, his car.
Yeah.
And the whole deal cost him a bunch of money. He never did do any jail time, but it cost him thousands of dollars, and this was in 1984. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're talking with Jack Lancaster today. Again, we were talking a little bit about climate change, and maybe if it's been a while since you've really made your upfront statement about climate change, number one, and about what it is or isn't doing to everyday life.
You know, it's a Chinese scam. You know, the Chinese sell us windmills and solar panels at the same time they're building, you know, a coal-fired power plant every other
week.
Lots
of them,
And, you know, we're the West, and I say, you know, the U.S. and Europe is the worst. They're buying it hook, line, and sinker. The idea is like what you said, what Gates said was going to happen, is the world's going to come to an end and civilization as we know it will cease to exist, which is not going to happen because there are positive benefits of extra CO2 in the atmosphere, and that is that plants are starting to grow. We're feeding more people more than the planet ever has.
So say that again, because I think a lot of people don't understand that.
The planet is greening.
Wait, this is good?
Yes. Yeah, the Sahara, the Sahel, which is the band of land between the Sahara Desert and the more greener areas, it's that transition zone. Mm-hmm. It's actually expanding into the Sahara. There's NASA photographs of the Earth that show about a 20% greening or 15% greening. Basically, the entire landmass of the Earth is greening. The size area of the continental United States in the past 40 years. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. You know, the seas are rising. The seas are rising at the level of about, I looked this up the other day, it was like 6 millimeters a year or 4 millimeters a year, which amounts to about, I want to say like 6 inches every 100 years. So the idea is that we can build sea walls around that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's slow enough. It's not going to. And yeah, the seas are rising because the world is warming. The big question is man-made CO2 emissions causing the warming, or is it a natural cycle? Because if you look at the Earth with a scale of about 150,000 or 200,000 years,
instead of
there's cycles of warmth. And we've been warmer in the past than we are right now. There's a thing called the medieval warm period when the Roman Empire really got going. And, you know, what was that? About 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were growing grapes in England, you know.
Wow.
Iceland.
And that's a relatively short amount of time,
right,
by the way.
There was timber growing in Greenland. It was called Greenland for a reason.
It was green once.
It was, yeah. Hmm. So, you know, that's when the Vikings were doing their thing, you know, a lot of it. So, you know, the Earth cycles between ice ages and interglacial periods. This is where we are now. We're in an interglacial period. We are in an ice age, but we're in an interglacial period where the, you know, 20,000 years ago, there was 2 miles of ice on top of Chicago. The ice sheet was huge, and the sea level was 400 meters lower than it is today. So when those ice sheets melted, you know, we went, you know, 400 meters of sea level rise within about 3,000 or 4,000 years, which is insane.
Yeah, compared to what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe that's the other thing, too, that if you'll say it again about the sea rising, it's such a, as humans, we don't measure time very well when it comes to this global scale.
We measure 100 years.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but in, you know, these seas, these ices, all these things you're talking about, hundreds of thousands of years worth of stuff, we can't even comprehend that.
And, you know, they predict that the hurricanes will get better. Well, actually, we haven't had a hurricane hit the continental U.S. this year.
Not
the season's almost over. Now, we just had one through the Caribbean that nailed Jamaica and Cuba.
Yeah.
But, and then it went out, and it's going to hit maybe Bermuda. But we haven't even had one. So the hurricanes, the tropical cyclones, as they call them, worldwide, are way down.
Mm.
You know?
That goes counter to
Their narrative.
Their narrative, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bill Gates is finally saying, in that statement I read, he's finally saying, yeah, maybe we kind of overdid it a little bit on this whole panic thing.
Well, I just think his motivation separately.
Okay.
I mean, he came to the right conclusion, but maybe for the wrong reasons.
All right.
That's just my opinion.
All right. Jack Lancaster on the show today. We'll take a weather break. Be back after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. I'm Andy, 937 on KDXU. There's Jack whistling along. Jack Lancaster here on the program. Jack, thanks for being here.
You know what you need to do?
What's that?
Whoever the new guy is that replaces you,
yeah,
you need to make sure they play this theme song.
Okay, occasionally. If his name was Barney, that would be really good.
That would be the best. Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Or Opie.
Yeah, or Opie, yeah. We've been very lighthearted so far on the show today, but a really serious story here, Jack, and I kind of want to get your opinion. Maybe we can debate a little bit on what should happen here. You probably heard about it last month. Well, it was in September, so technically 2 months ago now. A mother in Vail left her toddler in a car, and sadly, it was hot. It was pretty hot here in September, and the toddler passed away. The toddler, the three-year-old, was left in the car for hours, literally hours. I've heard reports up to 4 hours. On a hot afternoon in Vail, the stuff I was reading about it, she not only left the child in the car, but she walked by the car several times during the course of that afternoon without even noticing or remembering. Her husband said, hey, the baby should have been asleep a long time, thinking he was in the bedroom, and she didn't think about the fact that she left him in the car. And now this lady is being charged. I'm going to leave her name out of it for now, but she's being charged with child abuse homicide. What are your thoughts on that? Should she be going to jail for this?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it's negligence. I think as much of anything, it needs to be publicized, and so that people that have children are constantly aware to know where their kids are, especially, you know, about the car thing. In other words, you know, make that deterrence a thing.
It should be. Yeah. No, yeah. I agree.
And I'm sure it's I have no doubt it's a tragedy for her and her family.
Serious
and,
pain, yeah,
right now. Yeah. But yeah, you should have to, you know, because people, you know, people get caught up in their lives, but they also need to, you know, have to, I mean, I raised, you know, two infant daughters, and, it was a thing to be constantly aware of their whereabouts, you know.
I have to ask the question.
And you don't know. I mean, was this woman or was the couple, were they drinking that day? Were they high on drugs that day? Were they smoking weed?
Well, that kind of
brings. Do you know anything about that?
The question I was going to ask is, how can a mom or dad, for that matter, go 4 hours with not knowing where your child, even if you think your child's in the bedroom asleep, 4 hours, you don't check on him? You don't go look? You don't. Like, I mean, was there not any kind of tug in your conscience or your whatever it is when you're a parent?
To me, it almost says, and I don't want to prejudge because we don't know, but to me, it almost says there's some other factor in there, like some kind of drug or something, the alcohol or drugs.
We are not in any way accusing her of that.
No, we don't know.
We don't know.
But the only explanation I can come up with in my logical brain, if you will, is that would have to be a factor.
Yeah.
But again, don't, you know, not knowing, but it's sad beyond sad.
I remember one time we lived about 6-7 blocks from the school my kids went to, the elementary school, and the kind of the agreement was they walked to and from school together, if it was raining, I would, and I was Mr. Mom, my wife was working, and I was working nights and weekends, and anyway, if it was raining, the kind of understood agreement was I would go pick them up, so they wouldn't have to walk home in the rain. One time, I got, I don't know what I was doing, if I was working on something or whatever, it was raining, and the boys had to walk home in the rain. It was kind of funny, because I have a picture. My one son thought it was the greatest thing in the world to walk home in the rain. He's like, oh, splashing in the puddles.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My other son, a year and a half younger, thought it was the worst thing ever in history. And when they got home, we took a picture of them both, and the one boy was so happy. He thought it was so great. And the other boy had this look on his face like, you're the worst dad in the whole world. And to this day, we look at those pictures and kind of laugh. But, and by the way, the mopey son, he actually turned out to be one fine man as a grown-up now. Yeah. He's just an amazing guy. But I forgot about them, but it was brief. It was maybe 15 minutes where I was busy doing something.
Yeah.
And you know, I made him walk home in the rain, and the one boy was happy, the other one wasn't, and I felt bad, and to this day, there is a little tinge of guilt for why didn't I pick them up? I should have been the great dad that picks them up in the rain, but I can't even fathom in my mind 3-4 hours of just completely forgetting about your 3
year old. I can't either. Mm. But again, you know, I'm sure, you know, that family is in an immense amount of pain and grief, but I think it needs to be, you know, made an example of, if you will. I, to be honest with you, if that was me, if I was the parent and I had been negligent, even if I was imbibing on something, a jail sentence for a couple of years wouldn't be a big deal. It's like my life's kind of, you know, I would want to pay a penance. If that makes sense.
The lady,
I think that person might be safer in prison for a while because
she's going to blame herself, right?
Well, then what would that ultimate sacrifice be for yourself?
Yeah.
If you think about it, unless she's got other children. You know what I'm saying?
True. Yeah.
I don't want to say the S word, but there may be a safety issue involved there.
She was, this was from the comments on the story, but she supposedly said something to the effect of, I deserve to be charged with something.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that, yeah.
All right, let's move to a different story. This came out on Friday, and we didn't really had a chance to talk about it, but the FBI has finished its investigation into that shooting and fire at the church in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the agent Jennifer Runyon said in a statement that it was a targeted act of violence against a particular religious community, which we kind of all knew. But when these kind of things happen, I try to put myself in the guilty person's mind for a minute and try to figure out if what they did is even slightly justifiable on the smallest scale. And I cannot find a way where a guy shooting it, supposedly he was jilted by a woman who was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, thus fueling his hatred for the church, because in his mind she broke up with him because he wasn't a member and didn't want to be a member.
Yeah.
She wasn't there that day in that congregation. She wasn't anywhere close to that.
Well, she lived in Utah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how could he make this quantum leap that the Mormons told her to break up with me, therefore I'm going to go shoot up a church? I just don't get that.
Yeah, there's something broken there in his brain.
Yeah. So
cops killed him, right?
Yeah, he was killed in a shootout in the parking lot there. Yeah. But you just, you know, when I go to church on Sunday, and by the way, there is a, I looked it up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints handbook. Mm-hmm. You are not supposed to bring firearms into the church unless it is part of your duty as
a sworn officer.
If you're an officer or something like that. So me bringing a gun to church is actually against church policy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when he crashed into the side of the church, the reason he had easy targets, people to kill, people came to his aid. They thought, he crashed, you know, somebody's hurt. We need to go help them.
Yeah.
So, the whole thing just, when I go to church, I'm not going to lie, I think about it. I sit in the church and think, man, if some dude walked in here with a gun, I mean, who's to stop him?
Right. Right. There's not much.
No.
No.
And you're.
And I was listening to a podcast called Ward Radio, and the guy's a funny guy, but He said, you know, the buildings themselves and the way they orient, the priesthood in the middle of the building and the primary and the relief societies on the outer ring of the building.
Wow.
So the softer targets, if you will, are outer and the men are in the middle.
Yeah.
So they probably ought to think about that.
Yeah, I never thought about that. that is completely true.
Yeah. They're going to start putting out ushers in the foyers. They're going to make it a calling for the elders to, you know, during our block.
Do we need recently the state of Utah instituted what's called the Guardian Program, where every school in Utah is going to have two armed guardians. They're going to be concealed carry. Mm-hmm. They're going to be trained, vetted and trained, but every school starting, I think it's already started. If it hasn't started, it's going to start in the fall. Anyway, I think it started actually, but every school will have two trained.
In addition to the resource officer?
In addition to the SRO. In fact, the only person supposedly that knows who that is the SRO and the principal.
Mm.
Nobody else even knows who it is. Mm-hmm. So
good idea.
Is that something that needs to happen in churches? Do you think?
Maybe. It's a sign of the times.
I would volunteer for that.
It's a sign of the times.
I would do it. I would have, when they first announced the Guardians program for schools, I would have done that, and they said, well, you have to already be an employee of the school. So they're basically taking lunch people or custodians or those type non-teachers and non-administrators and making them the guardians. And so that immediately ruled me out. But I would do that. I would, with pride, do that.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man, 9:47. Boy, this show just flown by.
It flies by, man.
We need to get a commercial break in. We'll be back after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, a couple of items of business I want to take care of before we wrap this show up. Number one is... I am going to be here the entire month of November. People, and I say the entire month, but I am taking a cruise in the middle of the month, so kind of not the entire month, but I am staying through November. Those those it had been announced I was retiring. I am retiring at the end of November, so I'll be here for that.
We just can't get rid of you, can we, Andy?
No, I'm like a bad penny. Item number two, I am holding in my hand right now something called the Colada Royale. This is a pineapple that the Dole Company sent me. It is a pineapple with a hint of coconut in it. This coconut flavoring in it. Especially juicy and delicious. I have one I am giving away right now on the air. You need to text me 435-467-5842, the word yum, Y-U-M. If you text me, if you're the first one to text me Y-U-M, you will win this Colada Royale pineapple. I can tell you this, we ate one of them. It is as good as advertised. Now, the coconut is subtle. It's not like overwhelming coconut flavor. Uh-huh. It's pineapple with a hint of coconut. It is so juicy and delicious. Text me right now. 435-467-5842.
That looks cool.
Jack, I have some in the fridge if you want to grab some before
I'll try it.
It is unbelievably good. Text me, 435-467-5842. I actually was not going to give one away. Uh-huh. I was going to give them to some friends. It's kind of Christmas presents. And I'm like, you know what?
Your audience deserves.
They totally deserve
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
The other day, I gave away some Angelicas and some Donut Run.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people texted, I'd rather have that pineapple. But okay. Message received. Pineapple is here for you to win. And I will get to that winner. We have already 9 texts.
Okay.
In just the last 30 seconds. So,
okay.
We're going to let Jack try some and after the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
It is very, very good. Okay. Remember, Jack, I was talking about trying to put my mind in and figure out how these guys can do these crimes and are they at all justified? And this one that I'm about to tell you about is one I can't even get it at all.
Yeah.
So the guy had a dog and the dog had puppies.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't want the puppies. He didn't really want the dog, but he didn't want the puppies for sure. And so what would a normal person do in that case?
Take out ads, go to a corner, give away puppies, take out ads for free puppies.
Sign, whatever.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be bothered with all that.
Uh-huh.
Nah. So he stopped feeding the mom. So she would stop making milk, but that didn't work.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, all right, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to get on 189. This is in northern Utah. Go 60 miles an hour. And one by one, throw the puppies out of a window. What kind of... I mean, I'm just like, how do you... So he did six times. He threw six puppies out the window.
Uh-huh.
Two of them died.
Yeah.
Four of them didn't die.
Yeah.
When police found out about it, they actually had him come in for questioning. Like, I don't know how it all went down, but they didn't catch him right away.
Yeah.
But he came in, anyway, he's being charged with animal cruelty.
Absolutely.
And a whole bunch of stuff, as well he should be. The good news, there is a positive side of this. The heartwarming part of it is four of the puppies that lived and the mom that was extremely malnourished have been adopted by the Davis County Animal Shelter, and they are nursing them all back to health. So even though two puppies died, at least the rest...
You know, there's a special place in hell for people like that.
Mm.
You know, I just got to believe that. And, you know, hey, you put that guy in prison and tell the cellmates what he's there for? I wonder how long that'll look. I wonder how good he'll do there.
Okay.
Why don't we throw you out the window at 60 miles an hour and see how you like it?
Oh, yeah. I've always been a proponent of, if you do something, the punishment should match what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, not always realistic.
That's just sick. You know, and that's because it's so unnecessary. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah. Back in the day.
You go to the animal shelter. Here's the mom. Here's the puppies. Well, okay. Well, if you don't take them, I'm going to throw them out the window. Oh, okay.
They'll take them. They will. They'll take them. They won't. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's just something. My daughter texted me. It's grandma's birthday today. That was the other thing I wanted to do. My mom's birthday is today.
Okay.
She passed away five and a half years ago. But I did not want to go this whole show without mentioning November 3rd, 1938, she was born.
Oh.
And I do still miss her every day.
Yeah.
It's weird when you lose a parent, and you've lost your parents.
Yes.
It doesn't consume your every minute of every day, especially if it's been years. Like now for me, it's been 5.5 years.
Yeah.
But it does. There are, like, things happen.
Yeah,
something happens in your life, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I could share that with mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
And
I wish I could have introduced my wife to my parents. My dad would love my wife.
Mm,
And if he was still alive, his birthday was October 30th. So
just happened.
He was still alive, he'd be 105. So,
nice.
Yeah,
my mom would have been 87, I think, today. So, Dad, I know you're thinking about her, and want to help you make sure you get through this day okay. But she was a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Yeah.
She was one of those people that worried. She was a worrier, and I know a lot of people say, "Don't worry, you just suffer it twice." Whatever. That was her personality.
Yeah.
She worried about everyone.
Yeah,
they lived in New Harmony for 14 years.
Oh.
I think it was 14 years, and she always
nice
used to
place.
Say when we were coming to see her, and then on the way home, she'd always say, "Watch for deer."
Yep, watch for deer.
I'm worried about you, honey. Watch for deer.
Yep.
You know, don't want you to hit it. And that was...
You got to watch for deer when you drive a New Harmony, though.
You really do. Maybe I'll finish with that. My dad one time was out. They were doing home teaching, what they used to do. Anyway, he was out with a guy, and they're driving along on Harmony Views Drive, I think it was. Or maybe it was the road outside that. Anyway, and they didn't hit a deer. A deer hit them.
Oh,
My dad, he said they were driving along. They weren't going very fast. And maybe 25 or 30 miles an hour, and a deer jumps out and hits the side of their car, the nose right in the window.
Oh my gosh.
And it didn't break the window. Instead, all the, you know, deer and slobber and snot whatever.
Yeah.
That hit the window and just went all the way down to the ground. He's like, yeah, I'll never forget that moment when the deer hit us. The deer hopped up and ran away and it was okay. But
I have a story like that.
Yeah.
Okay, when I was a baby, this is my mom and dad telling me that. We had a ranch in Ely, Nevada. And dad was driving back to Las Vegas. We were in the truck. And he had a load of hay. And a buck deer come out from the side of the road and hit the rear view mirror on the side. You know those extended rear view mirrors?
Those
old pickup trucks. And it broke its neck.
Ooh.
So dad got out, gutted it, and threw it up on top. He opened up a couple of bales of hay, threw it inside the hay, and put it back on top, drove it home. So I got, and he washed the blood off his hands with the milk out of my bottle.
Well, I think that's better than wasting it, right?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, Dad did not waste food like that.
No, yeah. All right. It looks like Roy is our Kalana Royale winner. Good
all
job,
right, Roy.
I will get that all packaged up and ready for you to come pick up, Roy. On these Kalana Royales, it's not going to blow you away with the coconut flavor. It's still a pineapple, and it tastes like pineapple.
Just but
there's
a hint.
There's that little hint.
How do they get the coconut flavor in there?
They through cross-pollination
or something?
Stuff, yeah.
With a coconut?
Pretty cool stuff, though. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
We're out of time, man. Jack,
what will they think of next?
I don't know, but I love it. I'm in love with the Kalana Royale.
All right, Andrew.
Jack Lancaster here on the Andy Griffin
Thanks
Show.
Thanks for your
Jack,
time, sir.
Always been a pleasure, my friend.
My pleasure as well.
See you later. Thanks, folks, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.